The Environmental Rights Amendment to Pennsylvania's Constitution reads, "The people have a right to clean air, pure water, and to the preservation of the natural, scenic, historic, and aesthetic values of the environment." Voters approved the amendment by a margin of 4-1 back in 1971. But since then, it's rarely been applied in case law. That is, until 2013, when 3 of 6 state Supreme Court justices used the amendment to strike down part of Act 13, Pennsylvania's oil and gas law. The plurality decision was a win for Robinson Township, which had asserted its right to use local zoning laws to regulate fracking. This week, the Supreme Court is again hearing an appeal in the Robinson case and in another related case. It's an opportunity for the court to clarify how the little-known Environmental Rights Amendment should be applied, and the implications could be far-reaching. To better understand them, let's bring in Ross Pfeiffer, Penn State law professor and land use expert. Mr. Pfeiffer, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So clearly there's a lot of complexity to these two cases here. We don't want to get sidetracked too much by the specifics of those cases, because as I understand it, those details maybe aren't as important as the broader implications of the amendment itself, and especially its application here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the potential impact here is much broader than the specifics of these two cases. Now, the Robinson Township case, it certainly is an important case, and it did strike down a portion of Act 13 that addressed zoning. But it was really the reasoning behind that plurality opinion that I think is the most interesting. Now, as you mentioned, 3 of the 6 justices relied upon the environmental rights amendment for their ruling, and that's significant because since it was not a majority of the justices, it's a plurality opinion, and it does not provide binding precedent. Now, possibly through the lens of these two cases that are now before the Supreme Court, the court may decide how to apply this amendment and give us a little bit more guidance moving into the future.
Was it at all unusual for the justices to cite this amendment? Has it come up much in its 40-odd years on the books?
Well, it hasn't been used very much, and I think it was a bit surprising that this was the basis for the plurality's opinion. In fact, the challengers to Act 13 had not even fully briefed this issue.
What would this mean if this decision were to go from being a plurality decision to being a precedent? What's the legal distinction there?
Future courts could rely upon this court ruling in rendering their decision. And you know, we've seen in cases that have been issued, or opinions that have been issued since the Robinson Township case, the courts have not followed this broad interpretation of the Environmental Rights Amendment. So if it were mandatory precedent, then lower courts would be obligated to apply the Environmental Rights Amendment as broadly as the Supreme Court were to direct them to.
So help us understand the implications then. If the justices were to affirm that this application of the amendment was proper and valid, what are some of the ways in which you could see it potentially being used in the future?
Well, I think we would have to see exactly what standards the court is requiring, or what is the framework that they are establishing in their application of the Environmental Rights Amendment, and how broad or how narrow that framework is. But in the broadest sense, it could impact agriculture, construction, you name it, virtually anything that potentially has an impact on air quality, water quality, or environmental quality viewed very broadly. So they also could apply it very narrowly, but we'll just have to wait and see.
So let's suppose that the justices were to uphold that 2013 decision in the Robinson case by a majority as opposed to a plurality, setting the precedent then that the Environmental Rights Amendment could be enforced more broadly. Would that then be considered a win for environmental groups?
I think that definitely would be a very large win for the environmental groups.
The last time this was before the court, the composition was a little bit different, and now I think it's safe to say that the court leans a little bit more to the left than it was in 2013 when this decision came down. How do you see that potentially impacting the way the justices view the amendment this week when they hear the case?
Well, we have three new justices who are Democratic. We don't have as much of a track record of those justices to know or to have a be able to predict how they would rule. Often issues such as shale gas are viewed through the traditional political lens, but it is important to remember that Chief Justice Castillo, who was generally regarded as a conservative justice, was the author of this opinion. So I think we'll have to just wait and see how the individual justices are going to rule.
Mr. Pfeiffer, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Josh.